few minutes.
Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors meeting on August 12th at 6:30.
Over again, Mary.
Okay.
With liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. Okay, so let's go back and do a roll call, please.
Director Angelo?
She's not here tonight.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. Does anybody have any agenda items they'd like to review, change around?
Looks like we just have the one item for open session, so I'll move to approve.
President Lucy. So we have a number of different changes to the accounts payable item, which is on the consent agenda. So I recommend moving that to board business items as item 10B. And that's resulting because Mario, who I'm not, he was going to maybe be here tonight, has.
Okay, I'll make that motion with the modification.
Second.
Here I hear a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? It passes. So, yes. Okay, great. And then, so that's when we moved over to 10B. Ready?
Yep.
So we'll take public comment on matters that are not on the agenda at this time. Mr. Hill.
Good evening, honorable board members. Jim Hill from South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District.
I think the mic is not on, just so you know. There you go. Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, good evening, honorable board members. Jim Hill from South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. The Sanitation District Board voted to make an advice to residents of Oceano that Oceano Community Services District would no longer be collecting the billing on behalf of the Sanitation District, and the Sanitation District is currently pursuing the various options that they may have for continuing billing, and we very much appreciate the notification that OCSD has already provided to the residents of Oceano, and we appreciate the Oceano residents' patience and cooperation as the Sanitation District works through the various options to continue billing of residents for the wastewater disposal portion of their utility bill. So we wish to very much thank the residents of Oceano for their cooperation and just advise them of that imminent change. Thank you.
And Mr. Hill, I just have one question to ask you. There was a postcard that was going to go out to the residents of Oceano.
Yes.
Can you give us a little bit notice on that?
That would be simply advising the same thing, that the Sanitation District is working through the process of how billing would be handled in the future, and we intend to send a postcard also to the residents of Oceana to inform them of that, so that we try to distribute the message so that everybody's well aware of it as much as we can and that nobody's caught by surprise by it.
Right. And so the postcard for the people who aren't quite getting or following what's the change in the billing, will they get that in 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Or?
That'll be as soon as the staff can get to mailing it out. I'm not sure of an exact date.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Varney, how are you tonight?
I'm good. It's Wednesday night. Must be OCSD.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. I know that there has been some concern on the part of a number of bodies based on information that Phillips 66 has, you know, sent out. I see people who stand up to speak for the project say, well, you know, you may get sued if you take a position on it. And a fellow stood up at the Santa Barbara City Council meeting a few weeks ago and said that same thing, and their city attorney invoked civil, and I'd bring it to you all. Can you imagine Phillip 66 suing you all for taking a position to protect your citizens and the infrastructure of the town and your building? I mean, would that be the lawsuit? You know, raise my rates to defend that lawsuit. I can't imagine it. And then secondly, I noticed that in my water bill this week, I had the notice about, like, how I'm going to be billed for my sanitation stuff. And as I've suggested to you in the past, I'd really love to see something like this in my bill that says, hey, you live in the blast zone. You know, you could be threatened by 5 oil trains a week with 2.5 million gallons of toxic stuff inside of them and all of these toxic waste products coming out of them. So it's like, you know, come on, give me a break on this. This is something that we really need to have. You know, nobody's stepping up for this. So
thank you, sir. Ms. Kathleen Mink.
That's tall. My name is Kathleen Mink. I've been a teacher here in Lucia Mar for 32 years. I'd like to speak to you tonight as a teacher, but also as a concerned grandma. I know that you've already heard the facts about this project, that it not only presents the possibility of disaster for our children in the event of a derailment, but also the certainty of an increase in asthma and related health concerns for them, and that 7 Lucia Mar schools are in the blast zone designated by the U.S. Department of Transportation, including Oceano Elementary. Teachers are not prepared to deal with the evacuation and resulting trauma to our children on a level. When I first became a grandma and witnessed the beauty of my daughter giving birth to her daughter, the feeling of the circle of life profoundly washed over me. I knew in that instant that I would do anything to protect this brand new little child. And I'm not unique in this. I think it's written into our DNA to want to protect our children, whether as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, or mentors. And that's probably why the professions that make the safeguarding of our children the focus of their life's work have already unequivocally taken a firm stand against this project. Did you know that the California Nurses Association, my local Teachers Association, LMUTA, the California Teachers Association, and the National Education Association have all written opposition letters to SLO County? When they learned that schools are in the blast zone, they acted immediately. You have the power to do the same. Please join the growing bodies of elected officials who are taking a stand. In the words of the president of the National Education Association, the NEA, writing to SLO County from Washington, D.C., quote, please put student safety first. I implore you to reject this proposed expansion, unquote. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Mona Poster.
Good evening. I'm really glad to be here. Last time I was in paying my water bill, funny that you should have that announcement this tonight, the manager I spoke with said, yeah, come to our meeting. But, you know, I'm a new grandmother, too. I have a 20-month-old grandbaby down in the South. And I'm a retired librarian, retired paralegal. I had worked in my husband's law firm, and I've had allergies, no asthma. My son had some soccer-induced asthma. But I've been very concerned about the information I read about the increased particulate matter. I really see this as this Phillips 66 expanded proposal for use of the railroad tracks out here as a real public health issue. I mean, I might have a sugary chocolate chip cookie, But that doesn't mean I'm going to eat 5 pounds of sugar. I mean, I drive a car. But that doesn't mean I have to agree to every increase in a fuel energy system that might go on. And I know our state here, we are the Central Coast. There are petroleum deposits here. There are small, what you would call them, producers. And it's a calculated risk. You get out of bed in the morning, you get in a car, it's, you know, there's a calculated risk. We live here, there's a nuclear power plant. We all know we're it's a trade-off, and we just hope and expect our governmental officials from the local level on up through Washington, D.C. to have public safety as a concern. So I live up near the Pike in Oceano, so I'm actually a block or so out of the actual mile-long evacuation zone. But I feel the impact of people fleeing up and down my street, people needing first aid help, water, simple things. And I'm a block from Fairgrove spot as, say, Pismo, but we do rely on the natural beauty. That's one reason we're here, living in a very densely packed square couple miles. So I would just implore you, as our services district that does keep in touch with all the citizens, to really take a hard look at it. That 88% of the people in Oceano live within that evacuation zone on either side of the tracks. So I request that you do stop.
Thank you, President Lucy and Board. I just wanted to speak real quick regarding the Oceano Services District billing to the Sanitation District. And I wasn't able to attend the July 15th meeting, and so I watched the meeting of the Sanitation District online. And at the last Sanitation District, I had a question, and I didn't quite get it answered there, so I was hoping maybe for some clarification tonight. When I was watching the tape, I was listening very closely to Director Lucy as she was explaining how the $22,000 that was being billed to the Sanitation District on behalf of Oceano, and she very specifically mentioned the fourth line down here, that you take the amount of $84,000, you divide it by four, and you come up with like apparently $22,000, which is what Oceano was billing the Sanitation District, and yet this line says back the other way. And if you take $21,000 times four, you come up with $84,000. But that doesn't still get me close to the $22,000 that the that OCSD was billing. On the second page that I gave you here, it talks about, this is from part of the Sanitation District board packet, and it shows in here that in 2012/13, Arroyo Grande billed for their billing services $12,316, Grover Beach billed $9, and OCSD billed $4,900, $4,930. The next year, Arroyo Grande billed $12,097, Grover Beach billed $20,000, and the OCSD billed $22,000. So if someone could give me some sort of clarification, I know there was something with regards to Mr. Gieselin, but I still haven't been able to figure out the math, and it looks to me like the only one who's remaining.
More public comment? Okay.
Thank you, and I just state that I'm flying the opposition to the Phillips 66 in my front yard, so thank you, Charles.
Fly it proud, man.
I am. Big yellow and red sign.
I haven't seen the final EIR yet, and I do not have a decision.
Okay. Do we have a sheriff's report tonight? Nope. Okay. Guess everything's fine in town. Operations, Mr. Matarchino, how are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
Did you work hard today?
Absolutely.
So we did.
Tony Matarchino. So for the past few weeks, we had back teeth, seleniums, and general physical samples. We've had 23 work orders, 15 USAs, 10 customer service calls, 3 call-outs. One call out was due to a smell of sewer on the beach area. And just to let you know, we've cleaned a total of 9 miles of sewer mains. We were actually cleaning that day at the beach area. And if you don't have about 2 feet per second of flow, it settles out. It can actually slow the flow down, and you will get a smell from it. So we responded to it and got it flowing a little better by taking it all the way down to the lift station. There's quite a bit of settlement at that area due to the fact that showers, you got outdoor showers, indoor showers, a lot of visitors, manholes that need to get raised, and we are aware of that. That will be a CIP project for those manholes in the beach area. But quite a bit of sand, and it does obstruct the flow. We've installed over 20 meters in the past few weeks. As for Lopez Lake, it is currently at 16,935 acre feet, which is 34.3% full. We've received year to date, as of the first of this month, 261 acre feet, and that's all state water. We have pumped exactly 100 acre feet for this year. We cleaned out the lift station. We had to vacuum out the wet well of the lift station. We also cleaned out the fire department's lift station. They have a small lift station over here. Make sure that never backs up again. So maintain that once a year. The cathodic protection for the tanks was inspected. Everything's working adequately. So that prevents any kind of rust or deterioration on the inside of those tanks, because they're not cheap to rebuild. That's pretty much everything. Focusing on sewer cleaning, getting our SSMP in compliance.
Great.
Yeah.
Does the board have any questions for Tony?
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
President Lucy,
as always.
If I just might add.
Please.
And that is on the most recent billing period. As we're well aware, your board adopted the water conservation rates in April. And so May to July was the first billing period under the new conservation rates. And in comparison to 2013, the customers and residents of Oceano can serve 32%.
Wow.
So it's been very successful efforts right out the gate. And I just wanted to make sure to add that to Tony's report.
Would this be a good time to talk about the water form, or are you going to speak about that farther down?
I think that is a good tomorrow night from 5 to 8 at the South County Regional Center. There's going to be a water forum, South County Water Symposium, a good event tomorrow night.
So are they going to talk mainly about where we are in the drought and where we're going, or what different projects are starting or coming online? Or
well, I am eagerly awaiting to hear what Mr. Gehring is going to cover myself, so I know I'm going to attend to make sure that I can hear him.
Okay, so
I have something? And I'm eagerly awaiting hearing from John Lindsay, who's PG&E's, or our local area's weather guru, who is going to talk about weather and water and rain.
Yes, because there's some indications that we have a super El Nino that could be coming our way.
And an indication we don't have. Mm. That's his latest word.
So
ain't going to be none.
Of course, we'll find out when the winter comes along, but it's always good to hear from John Lindsay. Yeah.
And that's 5 to 7 tomorrow night at the Regional Center,
I believe,
correct?
It's 5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Yes.
And it's free. But if you want a hot dog from the Lions Club, it's $5. But I do know we've had a crew with the OES engine out on the Northern California fires, and I believe they're still there. There's no indication they've come back doing protection of property and people up there, and those fires are just getting worse and worse and worse.
It's terrible.
You know, 50, 60 homes gone, thousands and thousands of acres up in Lodi, Napa, all those hills up there, Lake County.
Hmm. Well, I did attend the five-year anniversary for the Five Cities Fire Authority, and it was really nice to be able to be in those first planning meetings when I think it was Skylight Consulting or that put together the study to bring the JPA together. And so it was nice to see how far they've come in 5 years. So, because Mr. Lieberman's not here. So,
Director White and I did, or Vice President White, and I did attend the Oceano Advisory Council meeting on, I believe it was the 27th of July, and we had Supervisor Compton here to answer questions and kind of give us an update on things that were going on in Oceano. She covered the status of the dredging of AG Creek, that waterway management plan, a possible new bus route that would be going through town, some on the refinery, and also in conjunction with Commander Donovan, an update on the homeless that are in the area, as well as some code enforcement information contact. So it was good to hear from her. There were a lot of people in attendance, and they had some good questions. And
What's the new bus route going through town and the status of the dredging of the creek?
Say that again.
The new bus route and the status of dredging the creek, can you?
I believe it is Route 23 was the bus. I am not sure if she mentioned where
it's going to go.
Yeah, where it was. Okay. I'm sorry. I can find out, though.
It's okay. I can look it up, I guess. I didn't know that was being changed. I tried riding the bus to slow for a while, but it was 3 buses in an hour and a half, and I gave up for that reason. I can drive
maybe 2 years before they go to dredging. Anyway, it's not anything that's going to happen. Mother Nature may dredge it before then.
We also discussed, or at our next meeting, I believe, we'll be discussing having a public forum or hosting a public forum for the Phillips 66 topic. And hopefully I'm going to be getting a hold of the League of Women Voters to see if they will help facilitate that as well, and hopefully get all the different voices up at the table, and we'll be able to ask them some questions and hear them side by side. So.
Great.
Yeah.
And then also, too, is Linda Guyton had spoke to me that the committee was going to take on the issue of replacing the South Oceano sign.
Yes, that was something else we were going to be talking about.
So that's really nice that you guys are going to do that. It's been broken far too long. So in raising it up higher and making it out of metal, so.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that there was one there. So.
Yeah.
Right across from Hayashi's Market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks just like the one at the north.
She doesn't come to our end of town, so.
Well. Do you have anything else, Jen, you want to add?
No, I believe that was all. Thank
okay.
you.
And it's placed on Halcyon land.
That's right.
With special permission.
Director White, do you have anything you want to add? You want to talk about water?
I want to talk about water, but I think maybe should it go over to 10A?
Sure.
It's about that issue. I was at the Zone 3 tech meeting, and I've got some information from them.
Okay. So I'll put you right there.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Guerrero.
I don't have any reports.
You don't have any reports. Okay. I attended South County Sanitation District meeting, I think others probably have way more to put in on it, but I thought the most important thing was is that that there's not a contract at this current time. I know that Officer Donovan has been working diligently on cleaning out the largest encampment in San Luis Obispo County down on plant land. They've discussed possibly putting up a fence or maybe putting up a couple of trespassing signs and tending to that area a little bit better, which does spill into the neighborhoods. And so if that area is stewarded a little bit better, I think that it will be better for all. So.
Don't forget the special meeting tomorrow.
There's also been a special meeting called for the sanitation district tomorrow at 3:45 at the Arroyo Grande City Hall. Somebody from the audience asked for a review of staff, and the next day we received a recommendation for staff change, so there is a special
actually.
Meeting.
We received a resignation.
So. Right. So, Matt, we received a resignation, not just a change. So there is a special meeting called for tomorrow to see how the board is going to move forward on that issue. I think it's abundantly important that there's strong leadership and knowledgeable leadership running the plan. On that note, nothing else. We're going to open it up for public comment now.
On the consent agenda?
I'm going to take public comment for reports and board and outside committees. I know.
Excuse me, I just wanted to say that the meeting tomorrow at 3:45 is at the council chambers, not City Hall.
Oh,
yeah, sorry. Yeah, they're at the same street, but just...
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
So the sanitation specials meeting tomorrow will be at in the council chambers, not in the City Hall building. Thank you.
And that address is 215 East Grand Avenue, if you want to use your GPS to get there. Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm a little turned around by how you're taking public comment tonight. I hope that there's an opportunity to speak to the business items at that time.
You can speak to the business items now, too, if you'd like.
Well, there's no staff report for the business items, so I don't know how
So if you want to wait till after that, that's fine, too.
Okay, well, I just want to be able to participate at that time.
We know. I'm just making sure that you have plenty of opportunity to participate.
I appreciate that. I just wanted to be clear. With regard to the reports that were just given, I recall from your last meeting, and Ms. Blackburn, you're going to be at the Zone 11A meeting. I thought you had some consensus among your board that you were going to send to Zone 11A the concerns around the railroad bridge. And I actually was looking at the Zone 11A agenda and kind of thought maybe they would have gotten a heads up that that was coming from you. And it's not on there, so hopefully it'll come up at that meeting later this week. And then with regard to the sanitation district meeting, I was in attendance, and it wasn't a member of the audience that asked for a performance review of the general manager. It was the board chairman who asked to put it on the next agenda. And subsequently, your general manager has resigned, and you do have a special meeting. You, the sanitation district, has a special meeting tomorrow at 3:45. Is there another opportunity for the consent calendar coming up?
Sure.
Okay, so I'll wait for that.
Madam President, I just want to make a point of clarification on the use of the pronouns. Your general manager has not resigned. I haven't resigned. It's the sanitation district general manager that resigned.
My remarks with
the
sanitation district.
So just so everybody's clear, and, you know, of course, you know, review the tapes online, is that Mr. Tim Brown. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment? Yes, ma'am.
Mona Pastor again, and I just want to say I was pleased to hear Director Blackburn mention that the Monday meeting of the community's monthly meeting is planning to do a forum on the P66 plan, because I feel that's what we need to do to invite the different you know, the people who are actually proposing it and the people who have been investigating it. And so I would like to ask, would I have permission to call you so I could be involved in that? Or
sure.
Okay, so I would reach you through this office here.
Yes, they will be able to get.
Okay, thank you for coming up.
Thanks. Okay. Mr. Ogren, do you have anything that you'd like to add to the consent agenda? Well, let's just do public comment on the consent agenda first and get it out of the way.
Clarification that it's only 9A and 9B, the minutes for July 8th and the minutes for July 17th special meeting.
Yes. Anybody like to do public comment on the consent agenda items, 9A and 9B?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to make a comment on the minutes for July the 8th. And this kind of goes back to the way your agendas are formatted. You have public comment for items not on the agenda, and then you have two opportunities during the meeting that are spelled out, called out on the agenda. Once for the consent calendar, the other is for your reports and any business items. When these changes took place, 2012-13 with Molly Thurmond, I was here. It was expressed and spelled out that this one time, this box before, just after 10, that this was your opportunity to speak to everything else on the agenda. And really, there is no other spot on the agenda that says you can come back up and speak to late written communication, or you can come up and speak to closed session. Even though you have been allowing that, there's no way for the public to know that. And at this meeting of July 8th, Mr. Edwards got up at this moment in the agenda and spoke to some things in the reports, and then he went down the list and he went to item 13A, which was your closed session. And he really only had one thing to say, and it's not reflected in here, but it was the performance review of your general manager, Mr. Ogren, and he asked that your board not grant the 2.5% raise of $5,000 to Mr. Ogren in this agenda item when you were to go to closed session. And rather than just simply listen to the simple statement that he made, Ms. Lucy, you chose to attack him and suggest that he was abusing the podium, which I found offensive. When the next person came to the podium and was also speaking about something later in the agenda, you were kind and gentle, and you told him that he needed to wait till later into the agenda. But again, if we go back to how your agenda is written, there is no way to know when you're going to open it up for public comment. And because you have a 6-minute limit on your agenda, written on your agenda, the public is forced to speak and shove whatever they can into this box and into this time frame.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker.
So I'd like the minutes to reflect that Mr. Edwards did speak to Mr. Ogren's performance review.
Did we list public comments presenters on these minutes?
Yes. Just not in that area.
I think for the point of clarification, we can certainly add Mr. Edwards' comments.
Yes, it's right here. It's actually right here, because I was looking at him earlier and I was trying to remember if we had included. Not topic, but who spoke. So they are right here.
Well, refers to the consent agenda and the outside committees. So
right.
It is not reflected on the
point of clarification. No. Certainly, following your board's direction, be more than glad to modify the minutes to say that Mr. Edwards spoke on the closed session item and my evaluation. As a point of clarification, he did not do so during public comment. That's the opportunity on a closed session. And so we will not typically reflect anything that is stated from the public outside of the protocol of the meeting. But again, with your board's direction, we'd be able to gladly add that to the minutes.
The only thing that I really want reflected is not that people, what issues people spoke on, that is that it's reflected that they spoke. So, and it's right there that he did speak. You're saying it should be in another place too?
Well, I do not remember specifically where it was that he spoke, so I would have to check.
Yes, right.
Excuse me, President Lucy, I will just add, there is no requirements at all that this board has minutes in any particular order, and their decision to have minutes at all is at the discretion of the board and the bylaws. So there's certainly no government code requirement.
And it wasn't an action item either, so I'm comfortable with that. I don't know about other people.
I'm moved to approve as presented.
Okay. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
You know, we've had this disruption in the back of the room. Ms. McLaughlin, I appreciate it.
Table
stop.
Things for you?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I move to approve.
Second.
Do a roll call, sorry, please.
Ms. White.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
No.
President Lucy?
Yes. Passes 3-1 and one absent.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, moving right along. Mr. Ogren, do you have anything you want to add?
Moving on to item 10A.
Yes.
So this item was placed on the agenda at the request of Vice President White, who attended the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee, where some of the emergency water supply options were discussed. As a result, let Vice President White take the lead on the discussion. I also I obtained a couple of the handouts from WSC that is working on ranking of different emergency options, and I did my tentative ranking for submittal to the Technical Advisory Committee. So with your board's discretion first, I'd recommend to have Vice President White lead, and then I would be glad to supplement the discussion.
Thank you. I'm just going to read this a little because it kind of made it a little clearer in my mind. Member group, there was a regular monthly Zone 3 tech meeting on August 6th, and one of the topics of discussion came from the county, and the member groups of Zone 3 tech were asked to seek guidance from their governing boards in an opinion poll, straw poll, nothing binding, on the question of whether or not they would be interested in continuing to study the possibility of obtaining an additional water supply from the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant desalinization facility in the near term. And it was explained that the near term could mean within a year. The costs discussed were in the range of $1,000 to $1,500 an acre feet. Water would be pumped to the plant to the Zone 3 distribution point at Port San Luis Avila Beach, which is the end of the Lopez line, and water could flow backwards. The pipeline would have to be built as well as some kind of a processing plant. Although the water is distilled water and it is clean, it's not considered potable. It has to be treated. But all I'm interested in is a sense of interest in pursuing the possibility of making use of this water, which could be up to 1,000 acre feet a year. And the County Board of Supervisors will be considering the issue at their August 25th meeting, and staff is from County Flood is going to recommend continued study on the availability of the water source, either on an emergency basis or a permanent basis. County staff, if the supervisors agreed, would then develop project descriptions and cost estimates and return to the board with recommendation on advanced planning and engineering efforts. And at some point, they're looking at Zone 3 taking the water and the costs of that water, the Zone 3 members. But at this point, the county is covering the costs of the process, and they're interested in, would the project be for ongoing services or only emergencies? Would the water be used for direct or recharge purposes? What are the intended project benefits, and what agreements will be needed to ensure the benefits are achieved? And they're looking at a 20-30 year kind of thing. And they're also looking at ownership, funding, and operational agreements that would need to be established. So that's where it is. There's maps and charts and stuff. Oceano doesn't really need water, but the process could be that the water from Diablo would go to the Avila area and maybe Pismo Beach, and in exchange there would be more water in Lopez for the other members of Zone 3. So it wouldn't be like we could pump it all the way to Lopez, but it would just sort of add to the water portfolio and be split up in that kind of a way. So anyway, but I support the idea that we would go ahead and say, yeah, we'd like to see it studied a little more, because we can't look at the future any more than anybody else can. And it's not any kind of a binding decision or anything. They just wanted to know if. So anyway, you got any other questions?
Jen, do you have anything you want to add?
I just had a question. I am not familiar with this yet. This is the first I've heard of it, so
yeah.
I'm just curious. Did you say we would need to put infrastructure in, or are they already connected?
No. There has to be 9 miles of pipe from the plant to the junction where at the end of the Lopez water line, so to speak.
Okay.
And they pointed out that PG&E already has easements to run pipelines along that road, so they don't think there would be a lot of major delays with permitting processes.
And
but they are checking with the Coastal Commission, because the plant's already there. It's just all they have to do is crank it up a little more. They got plenty of power to run the plant. So.
And you said it needed to be treated still.
Well,
yeah.
It's not. It's clean water. It just isn't labeled potable. You know, it's distilled water. So it's clean.
Well, it's no. You know, wouldn't call desal distilled.
Well,
no.
So my understanding of desal plants, including Morro Bay's plant, is the product that comes out after the desalinization process has pH levels that are different.
Yeah.
And so that they, basically the idea is that they have to treat it in order to get the pH levels modified. Otherwise, it's a potentially highly corrosive water supply.
Okay, well.
So it's not the issue of whether or not you can drink it or not. It's the issue of what are its pH levels and how does it have effects because of that.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have anything you'd like to add to this before I say something?
Yeah, I think that it should be looked at as a potential alternative. It's not a lot of water, and there is a lot of cost. Just in the piping and in the procurement cost, there's going to be legal challenges regarding ownership. But as we move forward and we look at, you know, kind of the options, as many options as we can that we can put on the table with recycling, with rock conservation, with procuring additional sources, I think that we should give the green light to at least looking at it and trying to figure out if this is a viable alternative. I think it's going to be a substantial cost, just for the pipeline. But this desal capabilities appear to already exist at PG&E, so I think that we should support looking at it for that reason. Whether or not we get behind it as opposed to other, when resources are being doled out and with scarcity of resources, of course, mainly money here, I think that we should probably at least know what's out there and how much water we can get. So that's my two cents.
It's kind of the way I feel.
Well, I kind of feel like Oceano's, when we bought in the state water, we spent our looking out and checking to see what's out there. It puts us in a little different situation, is that everybody criticized us for going with state water, and now, well, if we didn't have a drought, we weren't socially conscientious of what's happening around us, Oceana really wouldn't have a water shortage because we pay for state water. That's not a luxury, is that we pay for it. And so to put more money into, say, geographic areas that haven't diversified their water sources or haven't diversified their water sources in 50 or 60 years or never had any diversifying to begin with, to put out more resources for them, it seems like a double whammy to me. So although that water, the reality is that it should go to the most impacted area closest to that plant, and that would be the Los Osos area. And Mr. Ogren, you could probably speak a little bit more to that, but I don't think it's in the best interest of Oceano and our ratepayers to spend any money on looking at this, because we've already spent our money on state water, and we actually have a little bit of a reserve, which is something that all our pretty neighbors can't say they have. You know, we may not be pretty, but we have a little bit more water. So I think that we've already invested and investigated other sources, and we put our money into state water.
Well, I wasn't advocating we spend this cent.
No, I'm just saying that's my
my
take on it. Mr. Ogren, do you have anything you'd like to add to this?
Certainly. There's a couple of points of consideration, and obviously no action is required tonight. First, I want to address the Lopez contracts themselves, and then secondly address what President Lucy talked about, which is also the option of that water going to Los Osos, and a discussion that I had on Friday with Public Works Director Wade Horton. On the first point associated with the Zone 3 contracts, there's clear provisions in there that were negotiated last time the contracts were updated with respect to additional capital projects. And what that speaks to is that there's definitions of different additional capital projects. So when additional capital projects are necessary for Zone 3, in order for the county to meet its contractual obligations to us, let's say that there's a modification of water quality requirements and they have to do improvements to the plant in order to meet those new regulatory requirements, or really anything that a regulatory agency might impose upon them, then certainly the county can take actions and we are obligated to pay for our fair share of the costs. Now, the Zone 3 agencies have the right to step into the county's shoes and to oppose the regulatory actions if we think that's appropriate. So those provisions in the Lopez contracts speak to the issue of regulatory oversight of the Lopez operations. And, you know, we and everybody else might be faced with higher costs if some new regulations came forward. Secondly, there's additional projects that are really discretionary in nature, and this is what we're talking about on a potential bringing in a supplemental supply from Diablo. And part of that concept is that we know that we're getting a reduction in our Lopez deliveries this year. It's a 10% reduction based on the reservoir levels and the low reservoir response plan. And so certainly it's good that Zone 3 in the county is looking at how might those supplies be augmented. But the contracts are very clear that it's only the agencies that want to participate in those additional projects that have to pay for them. So if there's a future decision in front of your board regarding whether or not this additional water should come through the Zone 3 system, you clearly have the right to opt out, and the agencies who want to acquire the water source would have the ability to acquire the water source. So the contracts are well constructed in order to give your board the discretion that you may want to choose. On the county dime of evaluating it further, I think that's a good idea. And on the option of Los Osos, certainly I think that's going to be an important issue for the county to consider. And I say that because we know that Los Osos already has some existing significant issues associated there with their water supply. Manifestation of seawater intrusion is already significant. You know, the county is implementing a reclamation project for Los Osos as part of the overall wastewater project solution. So they are on the road to developing solutions, as well as the purveyors in Los Osos have come up with a basin management plan and identified options as well. But the point here is that Los Osos has more of a manifestation of a versus in the Five Cities area, really it's the drought that is challenging us more significantly. And if a 7 or 8 or 9 mile pipeline is going to be constructed, then the economics of it clearly point to the direction of, is it going to fill a permanent need versus a temporary need that might even go away before the project is constructed. So I think those are the types of things that they're going to have to be evaluating, and I think it's good that the county would move forward with that evaluation. Again, while your board has the discretion to either opt in or opt out if, in fact, they choose to pursue a project for the Five Cities area. The other course of action that the Technical Advisory Committee is taking right now is really doing a ranking of the different emergency options available. And for Five Cities area, there are more options right now that are under consideration than for Los Osos. Maximization of state water, the Nacimiento Water Project, intertie with CMC, even the option of being able for Morro Bay to turn on their desalinization plant, freeing up their state water for delivery down to South County. So certainly there are other options on the table, and the Technical Advisory Committee is ranking and evaluating those options as the county is studying further this possible issue associated with Diablo. And again, I would anticipate that after the TAC has had a chance to do their ranking a little bit more, then I can bring back a discussion item on the agenda with a staff report to discuss what those other options are as well.
Okay. Do you have, Karen, go ahead.
One thing that came out of the meeting I thought was kind of interesting, there was questions about, it's on the extended drought options list, is cloud seeding.
Yes.
And the very interesting thing is nowadays you have to have a CEQA document and in some cases an EIR before you can cloud seed.
Yes.
And that could take up to a year. And then it's so time sensitive and high risk that you end up having to pay somebody to sit at an airport and wait until the exact moment when it can be done. And they pointed out that not only was it highly risky and time-sensitive.
Cloud seeding. In a year that followed some significant fires in their area, and what happened was the property owners whose land was charred were naturally concerned about heavy rain and potential landslides and other impacts. So they challenged Monterey County Water Resource Agency, and that sort of set the precedence, if you will, for the requirement to do CEQA determinations before moving forward with cloud seeding. Now moving away, and some of the technologies have moved away from actually having to get people into the into airplanes in order to do cloud seeding. There are a number that are almost like fireworks where they're shooting them from the land now, but the timing of looking at the moisture content of the clouds as they're coming is, has to be evaluated as to whether it's beneficial, because certainly it's not beneficial in all storms. If there's not enough moisture, it's not going to work. And if there's too much moisture, then the natural rainfall is going to give you what you... But in certain situations where it's like the clouds almost want to rain or are raining a little bit, yeah, I've heard estimates from 25% increase in the rainfall, that particular stormfall event. So it has benefits, but the timing is not going to be allowable for any cloud seeding this upcoming winter season.
Six locations along the creek. These are not the regular test wells. These are just other wells. They're going to be monitoring them to see what exactly is. As somebody said, the more water we release, the drier it appears to get. And they're trying to figure out exactly what is happening. So that's another little study that as we go into the...
Karma.
So, anyway, I thought that was just kind of interesting.
You'll keep us posted, right, Karen?
Yeah, and they'll be reporting on the habitat conservation...
Oh, joy.
...plan in September.
Okay, good. And the zone meets soon, right? Yeah.
September.
And you'll keep us posted on if any of these items hit their agenda.
And I do anticipate that they will be hitting the agenda pretty soon, including letters of recommendation to the county for support on groundwater modeling between NCMA and the NMMA as well. So there's a number of agenda items that are ripe or will soon be ripe. And kind of makes sense because over the past year, a number of significant issues have been tackled. The low reservoir response plan was adopted last fall for the modified operations of Lopez during drought emergencies, as well as the 2014 recharacterization of water supplies, which helps with enhancing storage out of Lopez. So two positive and significant forward movements on water resource issues involving Zone 3. And there's more yet to come, and this is a ripe period for evaluating a lot of water supply options, both for the emergency and as well as long-term.
Great. Okay, on that note, I'm going to do a public comment on business items. Great. Any public comment on business items on the agenda?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I find your discussion of water supply options during water emergency very interesting. Some months ago, your general manager said on the next meeting that you would have the 2014 NCMA report, and I think if you had that, which you haven't had that presented, maybe it would help in some of the discussion here. Pablo said something about getting handouts from WSC. I think that would have been helpful if we had those to go along with the discussion. With regard to Diablo Desal, I hope you do nothing for a while, and let's watch what the presentation at the County Board of Supervisors is later this month. Maybe we would want to be a marine sanctuary in the future. And desal is putting that salt back in the water, and that changes the environment in the ocean dramatically. And Diablo Canyon's already done that. But to continue that use, to increase that use, does more and more environmental damage. If you want to do something for Oceano to help with emergency water, I recommend you save the water you have. If you had a couple of $1 million, you could retrofit every toilet and shower head in this community and take that consumption down, giving you more water available. If you had a couple of $1 million, you could fix your leaky water system. You're leaking over 100 acre feet a year. So I say, look at home first. Look at what you can do to save water here at home first. Because the water you're paying for, $1,500 an acre foot for state water, that's just going away in the ground, or it's going away with extra use because your fixtures aren't efficient. This building has original fixtures from 1984. You need to set the example by saving water here at home first.
Thank you, Ms. Jacker. Anybody else have any public comment? Okay, before we go into closed session, I just remind the community.
Oh, 10B.
Warrants. AP report, warrants.
President Lucy, members of the board, so the revised package has been handed out. What was highlighted in yellow are the invoices that Mario has processed this week.
Okay.
All the other items were items that were included in the agenda package. Tony and I have both gone through those invoices and either signed, we both sort of, if they're operational related, Tony provides the recommendation for approval. If they're administrative or office related, I provide the recommendation for approval. Based on the timing, I also went through then the operational items for a concurring review and recommend approval of all the items at this time. Be glad to answer any questions.
Piano, for everything he did for OCSD and what he will continue to do for South Slo CSD. And
I didn't see you slip in, Mario. I made some comments earlier regarding your change in employment, but I want to ditto Director Guerrero's comments, and I really appreciate the extra work effort that you did this week in order to help get these extra invoices processed, in order to help us get ahead of the curve a little bit with the pending change, and congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you, Mario.
Before we go into closed session, I'd just like to remind the residents of Oceano, you're doing an excellent job on conserving water. Oceano, we saved 32% reduction in water, so kudos to everybody. I know our lawns look ugly, but, you know, 32%, that's bragging rights.
I call it going bronze. My lawn is more bronze now.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yes.
Or dirt. But anyway, it is making a difference. And so we do want to thank everybody for their efforts. And I have to say.
So that anybody who is out on the street and observing water wasting practices. Yes, can log onto the website. They can say they're from Oceano. They can identify it. And then we'll have access in order to follow up with the property owners who are not being water wise. It's right now going through a little bit of a debugging process, but as soon as it's set up, then it will be on the website for the links so that those who are at their eyes and ears out there on the water wasters can report and we can follow up then.
Because I think people truly are really trying, and it shows. I mean, Karen and I know that we've gone through our yards and decided who's living and who's dying. You know, my graveyard does get bigger, but, you know, it's all for a good cause.
Dead plants.
Like a glass of water. So on that note, any public comment on closed session items? I'll do that right now so people don't have to wait. Ms. Tucker.
The item is the anticipated litigation, and I wasn't sure if I'll even get an answer if it's the same case that was before you before.
This is a follow-up in regards to the former office manager, Ms. McGrath.
And right.
Does Mr. Guerrero recuse himself from that discussion? It just seems that it would be
why?
Prudent. I thought they were related, so that's why.
Okay, so on that note, do we have any written communications?
No.
No? And we don't have any late received
I'm sorry, you're going, sorry. I'll let Pavo answer that.
And I just don't want people to have to wait, you know.
That's correct. There is no additional written communications.
And then we'll deal with future hearing items later. Great. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Ms. Kaminery, may I ask that you give the decisions that came out of closed session?
Yes. The report out of closed session is no reportable action.
Thank you very much. I entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting tonight.
So made.
Second.
Good night.
All in favor, good night.